God's kind of love, level two, part one. So that means there's a part two next week. This is part one. And this is a lesson from Don Crow. He's a friend of Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack is the founder of Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries in Headquarters, Colorado. So they put these lessons together so we can disciple people, you know. There's a lot of people that have taken these lessons and they're actually doing their own Bible studies on Zoom from their homes. They get people together and they do these lessons. And what's happening, they're discipling others. And that's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to disciple other people. That it's about multiplication. It's about multiplying what we have, you know, what we know, who we serve, you know. And that's how we make disciples. And that's how we grow in the Word. You know, we're studying the Word. We're going deeper. This is why we have Bible studies. And this is a great thing to have in a church or in any ministry, really. Even if you're running a group home, it's really great to have a Bible study. You know, group home for boys, for ladies, for teenage, you know, girls, whatever it is, it's really good to have a Bible study. Even in a nursing home, hey, why not? Assisted living, why not? You know, people willing to hear, they're going to learn something. Because there's always something for everybody to learn every single day because God is always speaking. He's always speaking. So in this lesson, it begins in 1 Corinthians 13:13. So I'm going to read from New King James. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And it says, "And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." And some translation, instead of love, they use the word charity, like it's in this lesson, you know. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, right? Well, the main thing here is that you want to pursue love, whatever it takes. We have to go after love. The Bible says to follow after love, to pursue it, right? And make it your highest aim. And this is what the Lord is saying, like, above all things, make love a priority. Pursue love is a priority, right? And God is love. And we know from the Word of God, you know, it always reminds me of Matthew 6:33, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the love. Seek first love. God is love and His righteousness. And everything falls into place. Everything will be added unto you. That's what this reminds me of. You know, so the Word of God is saying, pursue love above all things. Make it your highest priority right now. Make it your highest aim. And like I said before, some translations say to make it your greatest quest, right? So it's the only thing we'll take out of this life into eternity, right? Because remember, we have love living in the inside of us. You know, the Word of God says we love because God first loved us. And guess what? Love is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we go home with the Lord, we're not taking any cars with us, right? Homes, we're not taking money, right? But we will take the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has imparted in us throughout our lives by the Holy Spirit. So love is the only thing that has eternal value and substance. And when you think about love, God has eternal value. God is God. He's a spiritual being. And He's infinite. His love is infinite. His love is unconditional. You know what I mean? Like, wow, we can't even, our minds cannot even comprehend how much God loves us. We just can't. I mean, for him to, you know, when I think about God, I think about, you know, how He just came down to the earth, right? Kind of just robed Himself, became a man, right? He was still God, but He became man, right? And He sacrificed His whole being for us today, so that we can have be fully restored with Him in relationship. And there's so much that comes with salvation, as I've been teaching you. There's restoration, there's deliverance, there's freedom, there's healing, you know, there's blessings. I mean, there's so much. There's anointing, there's prophecy, there's giftings. There's so much that God has given us. Wow. So what does love really mean, right? And again, this is Don Crow, he's a pastor, he's a minister, he's a scholar, and he's saying in this lesson, if he says, I love my wife, I love ice cream, I love apple pie, there's only one word in the English language, right, to describe love. So when he's saying, I love my wife, and then he says, I love my cat, is his wife impressed? Not at all. Right? So you can see what he's trying, the point that he's trying to make here, right? So when we use the word love, some people think it means sex, right? Some think it means an intense warm feeling. People have all kinds of definitions for love. And in the Greek language, there are four major words for love. One is eros, right? Which is really, it's really not used in the Bible, and it's defined as sexual attraction or sexual love. God ordained that kind of love when he said a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The book in the Bible entitled Song of Solomon, if you ever read that that part of the Bible, is very descriptive, right? And it's about sexual love that God has restricted only to a marital relationship. The other kinds of love, God says, are free to be used by all mankind, but the eros kind of love is restricted only to marriage relationships. Another kind of love is called storge, and it's the natural bond or affection in a family relationship. Then there is phileo, right? Right, Philadelphia, that reminds you of Philadelphia, the friendly, what do they call it? The friendly state or something like that?
Loving.
Right?
Loving. Yeah.
So
brotherly love.
Brotherly love, that's it, that's it. Exactly. So, phileo, brotherly love, right? Which comes from the root word philia, right? So, this word is used about 72 times in the New Testament, and it means a warm feeling of affection that comes and goes in intensity, right? Most people who talk about love think that is what love really is. So, I fall in love and I fall out of love, right? Which is like, nah. You know, there's so many marriages, right? Like, they'll say, like, oh, I fell out of love with my wife or with my husband. I say, come on, cop out, you know? So if your marriage is built on that kind of love, there will be times when you have a high and times when you have a low. You could fall in love and out of love based on that perception, right? But when two people get married, you know, you got to work at it. You got to work together. You got to communicate together. And if you made a vow in the eyes of God, you should really keep it. And don't give up so easily. Just make it work. Make it work. You know, especially if there's no abuse in that marriage, verbal abuse, physical abuse, make it work. You know, go back and fall in love with your spouse again. Go out on dinner dates. Go out, take trips, spontaneous trips. You know, get that bond going, get that fire going. You know, I tell a lot of couples, you know, before I marry them, I say, hey, don't forget, you know, how you fell in love, what made you fall in love. Don't keep that fire burning. Don't let it dim out, you know. You know, the Bible says that we're to love each other with God's kind of love. And this is what this lesson is about, is God's kind of love, which is agape love. And what is agape love? There are many facets. And 1 Corinthians 13 gives the whole definition. This is why it's called the love chapter, right? Of what love involves. And I'm going to read it because it doesn't have it here, but I really want to read it because it is. This is something, even when I marry couples, this is a chapter that I very much quote a lot. So in 1 Corinthians 13:4, it begins by saying, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Right? Mm-hmm. And I skip down and I go down and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Talking about love. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not pride, prideful. It's very kind, very loving. Love is precious. Our God is precious, you know. But this is the agape kind of love. It's not selfish. It's not self-centered. It's a love where people put others in front of us. You know, when we think about agape love, I think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave first. He gave everything he had. Everything he loved, he gave first. And he gave of himself. He is the Lord Jesus. He's God. You know, he gave himself for us. Amen. So there's many, many facets that we just read here, amen. And then go to 1 John 5:3. Let's turn there. 1 John 5:3. This book also speaks a lot about love. First John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Amen. You know, I think we quoted this the other day during a service.
Yeah.
For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The Lord's commandments show us expressions of love. But if you know, the teacher here is saying, but if I were going to sum it up, I would use Matthew 7:12. So let's go to Matthew 7:12. He's summing it up with this verse. Let's see what this says. Matthew 7:12. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. Another scripture that we read the other day. Amen? So it's not a matter of all those people down at the church who don't love me, don't care about me, and this and that. No, the Bible is saying that whatever you want someone to do to you, you do to them first, and that is love. Love is putting others in front of you, putting self behind, putting others in front of you. It goes against our flesh, right? Like we want to do us first, right? So it really goes against our flesh, against our natural grain, to seek the welfare and the benefit of other people above ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you can only do that with the help of God. Because in our carnal mind, in our flesh, we want to do things. We want to be selfish. We want to do things for ourselves. We don't want to put others in front of us. But because we have God's kind of love, and we are disciples of Christ, we can do this. We put others in front of us. This is why we're building a ministry, because we're thinking about the neighborhood. We're thinking about the multitude in the Shirley area. We're thinking about people that need, that are hopeless right now, people that don't know about God, people that are living in sickness and bondage, and we want to set them free with the Word of God. God wants them to be set free. God wants them to be saved. God wants them to have an eternal home when they're ready to go home with Him. You know, so this is why we do what we do. This is why we have ministry. This is why we're having church. This is why, you know, we pay our tithes, and I don't want to say pay, but we collect tithes and offering, or we just collect an offering. Amen. Doesn't matter the size. What matters is what are we doing with our hearts. We want to give because we want to give back to the community, and the only way we can build something. You know, nowadays, we need finances to build things, to pay things, to have things. We need finances, and finances are not going to come down from the sky. God is going to use people. Amen? But in return, whatever seeds we're planting, as we know, Benita, you know, she speaks about it every week, you know, during service. These are financial seeds that we're planting, and in due season, we're going to see a harvest.
Amen.
And not only are you going to see it in ministry, you're going to see it in your life.
In your own life, yes.
With your family. And it does trickle down into your children. Amen? Because God blesses families. God loves families. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can only do this with God. This is why we need God. We need God every day. Amen. Don't think, you know, and he's saying here, don't think that he can manifest this without God. You just can't. You need God. Because the carnal mind wants to get in front of you. And he wants to mess everything up. But thank God that the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we know that God is love. He is the source of love. He is our source, period. He's our source for everything. But everything begins with love. And he's the one that's going to show us how to love through his commandments. He's the one that will give us the strength. And even in light of our flesh, because our flesh always wants to get in the way, he's going to give us that love and that right standing, the righteousness in Christ, so we can make correct decisions, right decisions, so we can go in the way that he wants us to go, so we can follow and be directed by his principles, by his commandments, by his statutes. So God is the one that helps us.
Yes.
Remember, the Holy Spirit is, he's our helper, but he's not just our helper, he's our guide, he's our pathway, he's our assistant, he is our counselor, he just helps us in every area of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then here in this lesson, now he begins a story, and this is a long story, but just going to read it because it goes with the lesson. Just to, you know, he just wants to show you how that filial kind of love played a part one day in his life. Amen. So it goes like this. He says one day he wanted to go and pray as he normally does after work, and he happened to be in the park, and he said, God, I really want to minister to somebody. And he's saying that it was a pretty warm day that day. And he saw a little boy and a little girl sitting on the swings. And there was the swing open. So he went over to them and he got in the swing. And then he turned to the little girl and said, it's a nice day, isn't it? And she said, me no speak English. And then he asked, where are you from? And she said she was from Romania. And he says, I know there were Romanians in the area, right? And then he saw people looking at him and probably wondering why he was talking to some children, right? I mean, we would do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
and then he went over and he said, and they went over to him. No, he went over to them and he says, I want to help you. That's what he said. And they said, you would want to help us? Why would you want to help us? You don't even know us. And I said, the instructor said, because God wants to help you. And he's been meditating on the principles of love from 1 John 3:18, where it says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So he's been meditating on love all this time, right? So, again, he's at the park. He comes, you know, he sees some children. He's talking to them. And then the family saying, why would you want to help us? So he's saying, we're not to love with the words of our mouth only, but also with our actions, right? So, although he usually doesn't carry money around him, that day he had a little pocket change, he said. And he reached and said to the family, this is for you. And he gave them some money. And then since he's been fasting, he's saying that day, he had very little food. So he said, here's some food for your family. And they were touched, he said. And then they said, who are you? And then he told them, well, God has made a divine appointment for us to meet today, and I'm going to see you again, he said. So he made a declaration, I'm going to see you again. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit saying that, right? And then he went home and he told his wife about the encounter with the Romanians, and then he took a roast out of the freezer and he cooked it. And then the next day, he bought a box full of dishes at a garage sale and went back to the park with his wife this time. And then the Romanians and their children were there, and he said to them, I bring you some gifts, right? Reminds me of the three kings when they brought gifts to the Lord, to Jesus, right? And he says, they're heavy, and I'm going to have to get them in my car. And if you'll show me where you live, I'll take the gifts to your home. So then they got to their little one-bedroom apartment. He took the dishes and he took silverware and everything matched out of the box, and he began to give them the things that he had purchased for them. And as he was handing them out, tears began to roll down the family's face, and the lady said, me going to cry. And I said, hey, on Monday night we have a Bible study at our home, and I would like to invite you there. And they said, we want to come. But he said, I don't want you to come because I gave you gifts. They said, no, we want to come and meet your friends. Mm-hmm. You know? So it goes on to say, since they didn't have transportation, the family, he ended up picking them up, and he took them to their home. And before you know it, God began to touch the family. And they couldn't speak very good English, right? But the Lord touched them when you know, him and his wife prayed over them. So the love of God was being manifested over them. And before long, they met another Romanian couple. And then he began to tell the first couple, would you go and help me meet another Romanian couple? And they agreed. And he got the call one day from somebody and said, hey, Mr. Don, we heard about you. We have the lonely bad, meaning that I guess these families were lonely because there was not a lot of people that spoke their language, and maybe they had a hard time making friends. You know, when you go to a different country, it's hard to talk to other people because of the language barrier. So you couldn't understand. Even when I came to to the U.S., to New York, I couldn't speak English. So I had a hard time making friends, too. So it just brings me back, you know. So he said, Okay, so they had the lonelies, and they wanted to meet him, right? Remember, Don got a phone call. So he took the Romanian friends, and they went, and they met them. And he ended up taking some gifts, more gifts, to this new couple. He took some food and all kinds of stuff. And as he did that, he began to visit them more often, and everything was going really good. And one of the first Romanian couples said, you need to go to the Bible study. Okay. They talk about Jesus. I guess this family was talking to the other family. You need
I
to
think
go.
It was the first Romanian couple that he met, the first family.
Okay.
That he met. They've been going to his Bible study and everything. So when he met another one, he had them to go because they couldn't hurt him.
That's it. Okay. So yeah. So she's saying to this family, then they talk about the Lord and his wonderful Bible studies. And they said, wait a minute, we came from a communist country and don't know if there's a God. We don't want this Jesus stuff. So that's what they're saying. And I guess he said, let me be a friend, right? And he began to take them out on the weekends, and he continued to buy them clothes and coats and whatever supplies they needed, right? And they were kind of embarrassed and a little bit reluctant. And they said, well, don't you need a coat? And, well, yes, I do, but then let's get this coat for you. I think we've all been there, right? I said, you know, we had some friends or people said, wait a minute, don't you need this? So let's go and get you what you need, you know? I think we've been there for that, even with our own families. So he began to love on them by just putting words into action. But they still wouldn't come to their Bible study, right? Until he said, there are probably some Americans there who will help you get a job. Then they came right away. And at the Bible study that night, I said something very foolish to the Lord. He said, Lord, you're going to have to give me a genuine gift of tongues tonight because we can't even communicate with each other very well. There were some Americans at the Bible study that night who gave their testimonies. And when he began to speak, the lady from the second Romanian couple began to lighten up. And he knew something was happening. And after the study, the Bible study, he said, let me pray for you. And as he began to pray, God suddenly touched them and filled the whole atmosphere of the room with his love. Then the lady said, you know, when the Americans were speaking, I couldn't understand anything they were saying. But when you got up and you began to speak about the Lord Jesus, God's love for us and what he did so we could have a relationship. Well, okay, so let me read that again. When you began to speak about the Lord, his love for us and what he did so we could have a relationship with him, they understood every word that Don Crow said. So that's a miracle in itself, right? So they understood what he was saying perfectly. So they said to themselves, it must be God. It must be God. And as a result of all our lives were changed, and as a result, Don is saying that their lives were changed, not just the Romanians. Life was changed. Amen. So he followed after God's kind of love. You know, it all began at a park when he got close to the children and then began to speak to their parents. And one thing led to the other, to the other, to the other. And then the results were great. He was able to show God's kind of love. And not only did it change Don Crow's and his wife's life, but it also changed the couples, you know, the families' lives. So He continues on to say that his home began to be filled every Monday night with international people. So now we got people coming from Bulgaria, from Russia, from more people from Romania. And God began to change the lives of these families. And they knew without a shadow of doubt that Don Crow and his wife really loved people, really cared about them. So they even had people from Africa. And they, even though they couldn't really speak the language, one thing they knew, that when they prayed, God would manifest himself to them. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, the Spirit knows all things. That for the Spirit to reveal to the people the understanding of what Don was praying over them or speaking over them is remarkable. They also began to know that Don would do anything for those families and that he really truly cared and loved them. So God truly did change their lives and the lives of many other people. And it happened because one day he went to the park, right? And he was seeking after God's love. And he said it before that he was fasting. And he saw some people of another color, another nationality. It didn't matter. But he had this, you know, he didn't have this warm feeling of affection, he's saying. But he knew that it was love. It was about God's love, you know, and that he needed to approach them. He needed to do this. So he put into practice whatever you want people to do unto you, you first do unto them. So that's putting other people first. So he began to seek the welfare and the benefit of others regardless of how he felt. You know, a lot of us are scared to go to strangers because we're like, oh, my God, I wonder what they're going to say, right? I think we've all been there. I wonder if they're going to even reject me, you know? So anyway, so he so appreciated that he just went ahead and he just delivered that philia kind of love. And he didn't allow fear to come into play at all. And you know, they began to love one another, you know. They were giving each other affection, saying to each other, I love you, hugging, kissing on the cheek, or whatever the case may be. This is how Paul tells us in his scripture, you know, greet one another with a holy kiss, right? That's how Paul greets people, too, in the Word. So what it did in Don Crow was generate that kind of feeling for them, that kind of love for them. So if you want to have a love that has feelings in your life, practice the agape kind of love, the godly love, right? Seek always the welfare and the benefit of others, regardless of how you feel. And this will certainly generate a love that has feelings. But not just feelings, it is the true kind of God's love. It is the agape kind of love that God wants us to show to one another, to practice with one another, because when we begin to practice love and begin to be intentional about loving people, like, God just moves, just like he did in these families. Because that's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to be his hands and his feet. The Lord wants us to love on other people, especially the ones that are rejected by society. God wants us to love on these people. Amen? You know, when we open the church, we're going to have all kinds of people walk in. Are we going to reject the ones that don't look too good and love on those that really look good? No. You know, we got to treat everybody the same and equally. God doesn't play favoritism. God loves each and every one of us the same. This is how we need to love our children, right? We love our children the same. They just have different personalities. And sometimes we gotta be more patient with some of them than the others, but it doesn't matter. We love our children the same with the agape kind of love. We don't care what they do, we're still going to love on them. Amen? They're still sons and daughters. You know? This is godly love. You love without conditions. You love by putting others first. You know, whatever you want people to do to you, do to them first. Amen? Treat them well. In the same measure you love, that love is going to be measured back to you. In the same measure you forgive, that forgiveness is going to be measured back to you, right? And everything begins with God. God is the source of everything. Of everything that is good, God is the source. Because we serve a good God. I mean, do we really deserve to be here today? You know, the privilege to be able to study His Word and even pray? No, God's giving us that privilege. He's showing us how much He loves us. And through His Word, we're being discipled. Through His Word, we're growing. Through His Word, we're just going from glory to glory every day. Amen?
Amen.
God is good. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over some of the questions here. We don't have a lot of questions today. I think we read 1 John 5:3.
We did read that. We didn't read Romans.
All right, we're going to read that. All right, 1 John 5:3, God's love is shown through His
commandments.
Amen. Yeah, you follow His commandments. That's one way we can say, hey, you know, we love you, God. You know? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's read Romans 13, 9 through 10. Let me go to my Bible. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Yeah. Sure is. Explain how the commandment in these verses show love.
It just makes it simple.
Just
saying to love others as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Love yourself.
Yeah. It's just that, you know. Huh?
Well, Lynn said love yourself before you can love others.
Mm-hmm.
Other words, how are you going to love somebody else if you don't love yourself?
Exactly. So true.
Yeah, and each commandment here, is what it's doing is showing the love. The way that we respond to God is showing how we love God too, how we respect, you know, others by following this commandment too. Like it says here, you shall not commit murder, adultery. Well, when we don't do those things, we're actually, you know, respecting other people, you know?
True.
I mean, there's a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of innocent people dying nowadays, being killed by violence, you know, and it's sad. You know, they're just disregarding God's laws altogether, His commandments altogether. They're not walking in love at all. They're walking in hate. They're walking in anger. A lot of people kill because they're angry, and that's very scary, you know. You know, how many women that we know that they had an order of protection against their husbands, right? And they're going through a divorce, and next thing you know, the husband goes, you know, crazy. And under anger, he not only kills his wife, but he's killing the children too. I mean, we've heard that on the news, you know, very frequent this year alone. There's been a lot of families where the husband went back and killed not only the wife, but also the children. Like, wow, where is the love of God here? Like, it's crazy. The enemy just totally deceived them. And, you know, this is the enemy just trying to bring all that, whatever that is, anger, a rebellion, lies, deceit, you name it. The enemy wants to destroy the family. That's his number one goal, to destroy the family.
Yes.
If he can destroy the family, he can destroy a whole generation. He can destroy a church family. He can destroy a legacy. You know, like, the enemy is, he's just evil. He's just evil. Romans 12, 19 to 21.
You just talked about it.
Really? 19 to 21. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So how can we love our enemies even when we don't feel like it?
We just have to. We just have to love them and leave it to God, because it'll make everything right.
Yep.
Don't try to take vengeance. Just leave it in his hands. He'll take vengeance for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's where let go, let God.
That's it.
Yeah, I think we've all been there where we have people that we just, you know, they rub us the wrong way, and even, you know, we start being friends with them at one point, but if they ever call for help, for prayer, we're there,
yeah.
Because we gotta let that go, like Liz, you said, let go and let God, right? We gotta be intentional about loving others, because what would the Lord do? What would Jesus do, right?
When you're nice to people that aren't so nice to you, it's like heaping coals on them. You know what I mean? And it'll start making them feel
mm-hmm.
guilty. You know, like, yeah, you make them feel bad. Okay, you could be mean, but I'm going to be nice.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Because we, remember, we're witnesses, and we are there. We have a living testimony that we cannot taint, right? So, you know, the Word of God says, by the fruit they shall know you. And we are under a magnifying glass, right? Mm-hmm. And this is why so many people, they don't want to go to church. There's a lot of hypocrites in the church, because there's a lot of Christians that are not intentionally loving people, and they're not following this commandment right here. They're not leaving it to God. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But they're taking those problems into their own hands. And they're criticizing, judging people, calling them names. Like, it's crazy. We see it on Facebook, right? We see Christians just putting people down, putting others down. It's sad.
So are they true Christians?
That's why Rosie will correct me. They're not believers. They may be Christians, but they're not believers. And she makes a distinction. And I agree.
Follow Christ, right, Rosie? They know who Jesus is, but they don't follow him.
They go to church, but they don't do the
work. You're on mute.
You're on mute.
You're on mute, Rosie. Rosie, you're on mute.
What I said is they know about Jesus.
Right.
They don't know him, but they know about him. Just like the Jews.
Mm. Okay, that's good.
That's a good analogy.
That's good, yeah. It's true. You know? Yeah, it's a difference, you know, in being a follower of Christ and a follower of self, right? So when you putting matters into your own hands, you're not really following Christ at all. You're following your flesh. You're following your carnal mind. You're following your fleshly thoughts. You want to take vengeance into your own hands. And the Lord is saying, nope, that's not the way to do it. He's saying, I handle this. I can handle this. This is my job. I will take care of it. You keep loving them. You keep praying for them, right? Because that's what the word says. Pray for your enemies. Love your enemies, right? So the main thing is that we need to seek the welfare and the benefit of others regardless of how we feel. Regardless of how we feel, regardless of how difficult it is, and if you have a hard time doing that, ask the Holy Spirit to help you.
Amen.
Because you should not be carrying that weight on you. You need to release all that anger, release all that bitterness, release all that unforgiveness, give it to God and ask Him to help you.
Absolutely.
Because you need to be walking in perfect peace, which you have. But as long as your mind is set on those things, which is, they're not the fruit of the Spirit, which is anger, jealousy, right? Envy, bitterness, unforgiveness, those are not fruit of the Spirit. So in order for you to let go of that, you really need the help of God if you can't do it. Because, honestly, we can't do anything without the Spirit of God. We really need the Spirit of God to help us. And like this, you can be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what we want. That's what God wants. And then, not only that, then you'll be walking in His peace, His joy, right? His strength. With a sound mind. Right? And that's what we need to be. We need to be walking with a sound mind. We need to walk in peace. We need to walk in joy. We need to, you know, we already have it. We just need to tap into it and let go of all that junk. We don't need to carry that junk. It doesn't belong to us.
Right.
Put it under your feet, because that's not who you are. You are a disciple of Christ, and you should be walking in His perfect love, in God's love. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Titus 2:4.
We read this in the week
before.
This is one that had a question.
Ah, yes. That's right. That's right. Oh, my goodness. What does this, Titus 2:4, it's right here, right? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. What does this passage show us about love? That's right.
It talks about that storage love that,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the
natural bond. It's the kind of love that can be taught, right? It's not just a feeling, but it's love is teachable, right?
Right.
Just like hate, you know, people, we're not born with hate.
No.
We learned that from others.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, same, Exactly. So love is the same way. We, you know, we said it on Sunday, you know, when we see our parents loving one another, it's easy for us to learn how to love, you know. So we learn by what we see, by what we witness, by what we experience, you know. And a lot of us, you know, unfortunately, they witness abuse or hate between parents, and they kind of grow up with that. So they grow up with a cold heart, and they have this wall that they put up, you know. So, yeah. So love can be definitely be taught.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, I believe we read that.
No, we didn't read 8.
We didn't read 8? Okay, let's go there. And 13, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So describe the principles of love in detail. Hey, listen, that's what the question said. Yeah, that's it. Love never fails. Love never fails. It always supports. Love is loyal, right? Because it's not rude, and love is hopeful and trustworthy. Love never fails. Just like God, God never fails.
Right. And also, love does not pay back for evil.
Mhm. Yeah.
Say that again, Rosie. Love does not pay back evil with evil. Yeah. It doesn't pay. Yeah.
Let's go to 1 John 3:18. Remember, I don't think we read that, did we?
Yeah, we did.
We did? Okay.
My little children, let us not be open for the child, but indeed and in truth.
That's it. How must we practice love?
Indeed, and not just in words, but our actions is doing good
out of the words, yes.
Yes. Not just by words.
Mm-hmm. And isn't that a true statement? Actions do speak louder than words.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, what we do unto others shows a lot. You know, just like Don Crow in this particular story, how he committed to just go over and just start speaking to this family, and he just followed through. I mean, that little meeting in the park, like he called it, was a divine appointment. And it really touched many families and many, many lives after that. Like, one little meeting. Exactly. Yeah, and you know, and I think we can say that for ourselves. I mean, I'm going to use Vanita as an example, because I remember when PCM was at the storefront on Granny Road, and Leslie, her daughter, invited her to the church. And look at how many years. I don't know how many years. But,
I don't know, about 20 years.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, one invite, right? And we, you know, we're a small church, you know. Even at the time, we were renting from this little house. But look at all these years, and here's Vanita, right?
Oh, yeah.
And whatever God has poured into her, she's poured into her family, her grandkids, her husband. You know, it's a domino effect, and no doubt your siblings too. And to the point that even her mom, Mrs. Brown, she came a couple of times to the service, right? So, you know, domino effect. This is what happens. One divine appointment can just explode. And that's what, you know, that's what we're praying for, that when we open church doors, and even now when we, you know, I'm already speaking to other people about the church. And they're telling me, let me know when the church doors open, you know? So, you know, there's going to be an explosion.
Yeah.
There's going to be an explosion. One is going to tell the other. Why? Because it has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with God. We're going to give them the love. We're going to give them hope. We're going to share with them the truth of the gospel. We're going to set all mindsets free, because we're giving them the truth of the gospel. And boy, we together right here, we're receiving revelation from God right here, right now, just by doing these Bible studies. Mm-hmm. So God is, you know, like they always say in school, preparation time is never wasted time. God has prepared us from the beginning for what's to come. But what the foundation that we have and the foundation that we are establishing even now is going deeper, and it's being more anchored in the truth of the word. It's exactly what we're going to bring to the community, and we're going to be anchoring the people in the word of God, so that when things come against them, they will not be shaken. They will not be moved. When there's sickness in their families, they're going to have the faith to lay their hands on those family members and see them recover. This is what we want to see. We want to see the signs, wonders, and miracles. And this is why I'm still going to school, because I know God has an appointed time for me for this next year. But once I finish the third year, I know God is going to catapult me to the next level. And only God knows what's going to take place. But I know that no eyes, no ears has seen. We can't even comprehend what God has in store for us. Because if He showed us, we would run. Because especially me, I said, you know, coming from my background, I said, there's no way. There's no way God is going to use me to that capacity.
He's going to use you. We just have to be willing vessels. That's it.
But I've learned, right, that it's not me. It's Him working through me. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
We just got to be, like Vinny said, we got to be a willing vessel. We got to be available for God. We got to hear His word. Right? We got to hear what He's got to say. And then just follow through. You know, even when we make a mistake, we just got to get right back up. God doesn't want to stay down. You know, just like, remember Peter, when he walked on the water, Peter never went down, you know. He never drowned, you know. He didn't go deep. No. The minute he put his eyes, God just grabbed him, you know. He never went down. Because He knew. Yeah. God is right there. Because the minute we call on the Lord, He's there. We're not alone. We're not alone. That's the beauty of this. We're not alone. We're fully, fully equipped. This is why when it says put on the full armor, we don't need to put on the full armor. You know, we already have the armor of God. Mm-hmm. We've already been equipped. You know, and it's taken me a long time to learn that, man, I'm fully equipped for the work of ministry. I'm fully equipped to lay my hands down on the stick. I'm fully equipped to pray over people and see them recover, you know. So, you know, so this is what I do. I'm sharing the word of God. Last night I went to a, you know, I don't think you were there, Vinny. I'm not sure. Remember, we had PCM had their first women's fellowship at Dave and Buster's, in like 2007.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, last night, I don't know if you remember, I don't know if you were there, Vinny, but it was like 2007, 2008, yeah, something like that. Well, PCM had a women's conference. It was a whole an all day thing, right? And in that conference, my sister brought a friend to that conference, and I went to visit her yesterday, like so many years later, right? So my sister called me, you know, she took a really bad fall and this and that. And last night I went to visit my sister's friend at the rehab center, and I just began to pray for her, and she was just so appreciative and everything else, and she's sending me a text this morning, thank you so much for this and that, today was the struggle, and this and that, and I bounced right back at her, don't stop by saying today's a struggle, say, but God. But God, every day is better than the last. So I'm teaching people how to use the word so it can become an antidote to whatever they're going through, you know?
Yes, you have to say positive things, not negative things.
Yes. And this is, you know, this is what I have been called to do. I truly believe that God is going to use me to bring truth, to bring clarity for many people, because I was once deceived also with an old mindset. So now God is just, you know, downloading revelation just like he did with Paul. And we're all getting revelation from God. When we're in this Bible study, we are getting revelation from God. And God is opening up the scripture to us in even greater ways. And I pray that you are really absorbing what we're learning here. Because, you know, I am learning. I mean, I did these Bible studies already. And God is showing me new things every time we come together. Because that's who God is. But all that to say that, you know, whatever it is that you're going through, always add an antidote to that word, which is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, you know, I met a minister when I was in Arizona. I met a minister who he said, I should have been dead at least 100 times. At least 100 times. And he said, but I refuse to speak out my symptoms. I refuse to declare what the report that the doctor gives me. I refuse. But I should have been dead at least 100 times. Meaning that the enemy had, you know, placed that on him at least 100 times. He should have been dead. So, what does that tell you? You got power. There's power in your words. There's power in your confession.
Yes.
So we have to be very careful. What are we speaking? Whatever we're speaking out has to be aligned with the word of God. It is written. The word has a lot in here. And this is why when we come together and we pray, we got to pray the word. Not the way we feel. We got to pray the word. We got to call those things that are not as if they are. Why are so many people still not walking in their divine health? Why are there still so many people walking with symptoms? Because unbelief is following them. There's doubt in their words. There's doubt in their mind. And until you know that you know that you know that by Jesus Christ you are healed, you will not see the manifestation of your healing. Because the truth is that God wants you well. And God already paid the price for you to walk in divine health. But why aren't people healed? Because they keep confessing what they're feeling. They keep confessing how they feel. And serving God is not about feelings.
Right.
And you can say, we're not negating pain, we're not negating symptoms, we're not negating the doctor's report. But what we're saying is that God's word is so much greater than that.
Yes.
God's word will cover all that. And God's word will defeat every negative symptom that you have. It's already defeated and it's already under our feet. We just need to know it without a doubt so that it can manifest and come to pass. So we don't have a faith problem because we all have the same measure of faith, right?
Yep.
We have an unbelief problem.
Right.
So the more you walk in the word, the greater you're going to believe and the less you're going to have unbelief. So the whole idea as a Christian is to have zero unbelief so that you can walk in his fullness. So when somebody says, can you pray for me? I'm going through this. You pray for them. It's done, especially in our unbeliever, because we have the faith to see that healing come to pass for that unbeliever. We have the faith. And if they want to be healed, God is going to do it. God is going to honor. But we don't have a faith problem. We have an unbelief problem. And that's what we need to put under our feet. So all that, I'm so passionate about teaching people the truth of the word so they can walk in total freedom.
Yes.
Not just on Sundays, but every day of their life.
Yes.
And they can pass it on to their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, timing was good. Any comments, anything before I close the recording?
No. But on a side note, Liz, I sent you a text. Could you read it?